Oh, hey there, everybody. Sit down. Pull up a chair. Pull up a chair first, then sit down. Don't do it in the reverse order. Come on in. Grab yourself a nice drink. Maybe a little snack. It's time for another episode of the Backlog Review Game Club. My name is Chris. We got a packed house here today. Joining me, to my right, though you can't see it, my good buddy Paul. Paul, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This packed house.
It's packed house.
It's a very tiny house.
It is. It's not a very big
space. It's not a very big space.
Joining us both today, we're so glad to have her back. You remember her from the end of the year episode, and we promised that she would be coming back more often. It's Nora.
Woo! Hello.
Nora, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you once again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Joining us through the magic of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What a lovely and also terrible thing. The internet.
It is both the best.
It really goes both ways.
It really does.
Simultaneously.
I mean, we get right into the banter section right away. Last night I watched the WeWork documentary on Hulu.
Oh god. Ooh.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where you watch it and you're just like, I hate what the internet has become. I watched it and I said to my wife, I was like, I totally get why Gen Zers hate millennials. Like, watching this, like, everything about the WeWork summer camp made me deeply hate our generation. It was so bad. It was just like, yes, we need to somehow justify our insane work schedules with an all-weekend binger.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's more of a cult than it is anything else. I should say that it very much reads like a cult.
Yeah.
Allegedly. You should probably say allegedly.
Yeah,
I should. I mean, we're not talking about Scientologists or anything.
Yeah, that's true. I am fascinated with cult shows.
Yeah, like, me too.
Some people are into like murder, you know, like true crime and murder stuff. Cults for me. Like, I'll watch every cult documentary there is, and I have.
I have my checklist.
Yeah, I watched the Heaven's Gate one on HBO Max. I also listened to a Heaven's Gate one. There was the
Gwen Shamblin one?
Yes. Oh my god, the Gwen Shamblin one. I can't wait for more episodes of it.
I know.
I'm obsessed with that one. It's about this mega church in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
What's really weird is when I was in college, I wrote and presented a paper about Christian fad diets, and that was one of them that I included in my research. Yeah, so when she popped up, when the trailer for that popped up on HBO, I mean, my reaction was like, what? You know, because I already knew a bunch about it. And it's a crazy story.
Yeah. What was the name of the diet again?
The Way Down Diet.
That's it. The Way Down Diet. Yeah. It started. Mm-hmm. Paul's looking at me like he has no idea what I'm talking about.
I haven't watched these things, but I mean, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. It's
Paul. It's just really, it's a
I'm just
annoying.
Bad at TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know. And we still love it.
Well, thank you. So letting all our listeners know.
Yep.
I'm bad at TV.
Hey, look, it's fine. This is all I do. It's why most of the days my eyeballs are burning out of my skull.
Hey.
Too much screen time. But anyway, before we get into anything else, Nora, we'll start with you. I mean, playing Donut County, but anything else you're playing, you're doing? What's been going on?
I am playing Elden Ring, literally every other person on the planet, except for one or two friends of mine who hate all From Software games. But I have, what else? I downloaded Grim Fandango on Paul's suggestion, so I'm going to play that at some point.
Nice. We should add that to the list.
We should.
And then I have Alan Wake's American Nightmare, which finally came to Game Pass, so that I have downloaded. And also, I have put my Mass Effect trilogy on pause because I am playing Elden Ring. So that's kind the pile of things right now.
Gotcha. How far into the Mass Effect trilogy did you get?
I'm almost at the end of the first one.
Okay. That one, oh, like going back to it, because I also have the Legendary Edition, but I have, I've only put like an hour into it. Mm. But I always forget that first one's kind of a slog just because of the controls.
Yeah.
Some of those battles. I think the Legendary Edition is supposed to like clean that up a little bit.
You know what? It does, because I have all three of them that I bought as a bundle for my PS3. And I couldn't get more than a couple of hours into the first one. Because I was just like, I don't like this. I don't like the way, I don't like how the shooting is playing out. I don't understand, you know. So it's been a lot, I don't want to say easier, but it's been, I think, it's been cleaned up, I think is the best way to describe it.
Less of a struggle,
I heard the, is it the Mako?
The Mako, yeah.
The Mako.
Yeah. Is that what it's
Mako called? Is Final Fantasy VII.
Is it Mako? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Mako.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mako. I heard
it's
that.
It's still really annoying to drive.
Yeah. That's, I heard it's better, but not great.
So. It's still
Yeah,
really
that just goes away.
To drive.
But
they just do away with that, the others.
Yeah. But how's Elden Ring treating you then?
I almost rage quit on like the second day. and I still, here's the thing, and I don't understand, I don't know if it's like weird latent like peer pressure that I'm succumbing to without realizing that I'm succumbing to it, you know, like being slowly poisoned by arsenic or something. Because I don't think I like the game, and yet I am continuing to play it. I think it's kind of boring. I don't think the visuals are as beautiful as everyone claims they are. Everything right now is just kind of brown. I saw a meme where it was like, this takes place in Ohio. And as I'm running through yet another, you know, weird, dry field, I'm like, yeah, this could be Ohio. And so, but at the same time, like now, I don't know if it's out of spite. I am playing this game out of spite. And I am like, I'm going to fucking beat this thing. And then I'm going to like spike the controller and,
sounds,
you know, walk
right
away while a slow-mo explosion happens behind me. Like, I don't know. But yeah, I'm still playing it.
Yeah. No, I
angrily.
I get that.
I don't know.
Angrily.
I had a similar experience with Bloodborne.
Yeah.
And I still haven't finished Bloodborne, but I just got to a point where other stuff took over. And then with the Demon Souls remake on PS5, I've been playing that off and on a little bit because Elden Ring came out, and I'm like, let me get my From fix and then remember why I'm not buying Elden Ring.
Right.
Yep.
And I get like to a certain point in Demon Souls where I'm just like, I'm missing something. You know, like I guess I'll go look at a video or something, but I don't even know where to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, I actually just kind of watched a couple videos this morning that were, at least from the standpoint of, like, here's what all your shit does. Here's how to access all your shit, because none of that is explained.
Nope.
It's just sort of, like, knowledge that you're supposed to have. So I watched a couple of those, and I was like, okay, now I understand a couple of things a little bit better. But I'm still, again, like, I don't understand why I'm doing this to myself. And I'm still going to do it. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
I mean, that's the From experience.
Yeah, it really is.
And I think you either break through at a certain point, or you just go, nope, this isn't for me.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't know a lot of people who are, like, dabbling in From games.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, you either are there for the punishment, or you're just like, this is, I don't need this.
Yeah.
Right.
I know a bunch of people who have started any of those games and have quit within the first couple hours, because they're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to do this.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't blame them.
Yeah. It just feels like homework.
Yes.
There's a lot of homeworkiness to it, and I don't need a game to feel like homework.
Oh,
but again,
man.
I'm still playing it. So,
yeah.
Dude, I don't know. This is probably the first time this has ever happened to me where I've started playing a game and I've been like, I don't like this, and am continuing to play the game.
I mean, that was Halo for me, but that was just because we had to talk about it. I won't keep ragging on Halo. Anyway. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you for the update. That's a good list right there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heavy hitters in there.
I'm excited for you to get into Mass Effect 2.
Yes.
Certainly the pinnacle of the series.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. Anytime anyone picks up Mass Effect 2 for the first time, I'm very excited. That really is the high point.
Oh, do you have any favorite characters in Mass Effect?
Actually, everything about Mass Effect, since you asked me that question, has emptied from my brain.
It's Elden Ring has taken over.
I really like Rex.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. Yeah,
I think Rex is really cool. I liked Ashley, but unfortunately...
Really?
Wait,
like, pro-human Ashley?
Did she say? I don't remember Ashley.
No, I'm thinking of something else. Never mind.
Okay.
Sucked
for a long time.
Yeah, she did.
That first one.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Please edit that out so I don't sound like an idiot.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, I killed her. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. She died in mine too, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I kept her around either.
Is it Garrus? Is that his name?
Yeah. Garrus is.
Yeah, Garrus is rad.
Yeah, Garrus is pretty cool.
Who's
he's like of all the NPCs, he's my top one. It's him and Rex.
I use those two a lot.
Yeah, they're the best.
Like those are generally like my team.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Oh, Tali.
Yes, that's thank you. Tali. Tali is my number one.
Is she in the first one? Yeah,
she made it through all three.
That's right.
Yeah, I like Garrus, but Tali was always my favorite character. And not because that was also my romance option, but it was.
But it turned out to be.
It was because I thought she was the most interesting character.
Yeah, she was an interesting character.
Yeah. All right. So, Paul, that brings us to you. Other than Donut County, what you've been working on? I know part of your answer.
Also, Elden Ring. So that's as a person who's played and beat Dark Souls 1 and 2. Not without so much help from the internet. I'm enjoying Elden Ring a lot, but I think with the first two Dark Souls games, there was so much of a, I really don't know where I'm supposed to go. I think that while this one is an open world, there's at least like, you have the waypoints that are that sort of direct you to where the boss is or whatever. So that's nice. But I think that it's nice that they're finally like, you know what? Let's cut the bullshit and just make it open world rather than making it so obtuse that you have no clue where to go.
Yeah.
But there is, I mean, with any of these games, it's sort of a roller coaster where it's like, yeah, this is great. I'm doing a great job. Everything's wonderful. And then I hit a point and I'm like, what the hell? Why am I doing this to myself? And then I beat that part. And then I'm like, this is awesome again. Yeah. So I'm sure that's going to happen again. I think I've put like 15 hours into it because I've just been playing it in small amounts, but so I haven't even beaten like the first regular boss.
Neither have I.
All right, cool. So I beat Margit. He was like my arch nemesis, and now
no,
I'm, like,
I haven't.
Running
I haven't.
Around.
I haven't beaten that guy either.
All right,
I'm
well,
just like leveling up.
There are some shackles.
Yeah.
That you can get for Margit that really help.
Okay.
We could talk about that later.
Okay.
But somebody told me about that, and I was like, "Ooh, yes, that's what I need." Anyway, there are, I'll like be about to go into like this castle where the first boss is. And then I'm like, well, there's like a dragon over there I haven't beat, or like, you know, whatever. So then I end up just running around for 2 hours and not really accomplishing anything, but having a pretty good time. So yeah, it's been fun. I too have been basically just leveling up, Nora. That's pretty much all I've been doing. So I'm with you there. I think, you know, I guess I don't want to speak to you, but, you know, we are related, so I would assume it's the same thing. I just get easily distracted by, like, whatever. So I just start running around in the end. But, yeah, it's definitely been a good time. Am I playing anything else?
I mean, Elden Ring is a commitment.
It is a commitment, but I think that's all I've been playing, because I had to stop recently to play Donut County. So we got through that, and so it's basically just been those two.
Nice. For me, other than, I mean, I actually played Donut County about a month ago, and it was the third time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you played it before.
I've played Donut County many times because it's super quick to get through.
Yeah.
But I have been playing the Dark Souls of driving games, Gran Turismo 7.
Oh, nice.
I love, like, I, you know, I've been getting back into driving games to the point where I'm consistently looking at steering wheels and going, yeah, I could justify that in my head for how much this wheel is.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's another conversation. but Gran Turismo is always one that I would always rent when I was younger and never owned, because it's tougher. It's not arcadey in the way that like a Forza Horizon is,
yeah,
or even like a Forza Motorsport is. It's more demanding on you, and it's more about like, look, you're gonna learn these individual cars, and you're gonna get committed to getting better at lap times. And for whatever reason, this one's clicking with me. I don't know if it's just where I'm at in life, or maybe I just miss driving as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But I'm having a great time with Gran Turismo 7. The ray traced coffee in the cafe looks real good. Also, the whole aesthetic is so ridiculous, but it hits me in a place that I'm like, oh, they made this for me. Because the whole progression of the game is there's a Gran Turismo cafe, which is in just this little, really nice looking coffee shop in the middle of nowhere, where you drive up to, and then you get menus, and the menus tell you to do specific races or specific tasks in the game, and then you earn cars. And then once you earn a slate of cars, a guy pops up visual novel style and tells you about the cars you just got.
This is bizarre.
It's so weird. My favorite character so far is there's an older gentleman also named Chris, who,
hence the love.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if you see his picture, it's amazing. He kind of looks like Stan Lee later in life.
Okay.
Whenever you come to the cafe, he will specifically tell you about the car you're driving then, and he'll give you really nerdy facts about it. Like, oh, so you're driving a 2015 Ford Mustang GT. You know, this thing has a V8 engine in it that, you know, is really reasonable for the price point.
He's just a used car salesman.
Silly.
Something.
Oh, there is a used car salesman.
Oh, man.
So there's three different places you can buy cars. There's the used car lot, which for some reason will list cars that are sold out. Why? Yeah. Why even put that in there other than for the aesthetic, you know, just to give you the experience of buying a used car. Then there's Brand Central, which has the weirdest timeline where it will give you the story of a manufacturer against a timeline of real world events, which include the coronavirus.
Oh, wow.
In the timeline. It's like, wow. Why? Why add that?
I don't need to experience this in my video game.
I lived it. Yeah. I don't need a reminder. But, like, there's even, like, stuff in there about Dolly the sheep being cloned. So, like, that wow. timeline is all over the place.
Yeah, really.
And then
that's a throwback.
Right? And then there is the third one I unlocked, which is, like, I can't remember what it's called. It's like a luxury car. It's basically, it's where all the friggin' crazy expensive special edition cars live.
Okay.
So like there is a some 80s BMW Sauber endurance racing car for sale for like 4 million credits that I cannot afford.
Right. Someday.
Yeah. So Gran Turismo, it's great, although this is we're recording this quite literally after they were offline for 30 hours because of a really bad server update.
Ooh.
And because it's always online, you can't play offline. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, I hope they patch that out.
Yeah.
Much in a SimCity way where they realize, oh, this was a bad idea. We could probably work around it. But we'll see. Yeah.
But
I'm trying to think. Oh, other than that, I meant to tell both of you that Humble Bundle, as of this recording, had a Stand With Ukraine bundle where all of the proceeds go to Ukrainian humanitarian efforts.
Yeah, I did see that as well.
Picked that up, and guess what was included? Quantum Break.
Oh, nice. There
Ooh!
You go.
Yep.
So now you can play it too.
I'm finally going to fill in the gap.
Join the club.
Mm-hmm. The I'm club. Excited. I did boot it up last night just to make sure it worked, and it's great. It runs on ultra performance.
Nice.
So
that game's going to be pretty.
Yeah, it's looking good. I can run it out of 30 frames a second, even though it gives me an option to lock it to 30. It's like, no, never. I didn't build this PC to ever see 30 frames a second again.
Just the, yeah.
I know. So I'm excited to get
the stopping time and just all of the, there's like, you know, sort of lights that are, you know, you sort of get the exposure time type of like effect. It's going to look really cool.
Yeah. I also didn't realize that was the first game that has that Northlight engine that they use for control. Because it loaded up. Yeah. It loaded up with the Northlight, you know.
Yeah. I didn't notice that. But also, because I haven't played Control yet.
That's right.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, that was the other thing. This is my last thing. I did go back and finish the Control Alan Wake DLC. Then spent a good 20 to 30 minutes screenshotting all of the Alan Wake related documents in the game. And then even recording the videos of Alan Wake doing his little, like, you know, updates.
The typewriter thing.
So I will compile all this into a zip folder for you two. So whenever we talk about Control maybe soon, we can speculate what this means in the controllerverse.
We love to hear
That's
it.
That's good, because I know I've gotten all of them, and I have watched all of the videos, but I definitely am going to need some refreshers.
Yeah, I was like, I need to see this against the context of that trailer now.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny, though. You were totally right, Nora, where, like, as soon as I watch the end of that, it does scream, hey, we're just making a sequel.
Yeah.
It's coming. Get ready.
Yep.
I mean, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I mean, we already know, I guess, at this point, but either way.
Yeah. Well, before we dive into Donut County,
is it time for a mashup?
I would say, do we want to do a quick mashup?
Mashup.
I will say, obviously, with the real world events in the Ukraine, I have not felt compelled to want to watch MASH right now.
That's fair.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have watched some. Yeah. I still have watched a few because, at the end of the day, it's more about the humanity than it is the war.
Yeah.
So that has helped. I watched the episode, so I'm still in season 8 of the show. Radar is gone. I don't know if I updated last time about that, but Radar left. You could really tell that. For all accounts that I've read, is that people were real sick of Radar, actor.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Like all the other actors?
Yeah.
Were getting
did
sick
not
of?
Get along with him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was funny. Everybody
That's
loved
surprising.
Larry Linville, the Frank Burns.
Mm. Yeah.
They loved
oh, really?
Him. Yeah. Loved him. He was the complete opposite of Frank Burns in real life. Hmm. But people did not like Gary Berghoff. And I guess he wrote a book after slagging off some people. So that might also help.
That probably didn't.
Yeah. But you could tell that season he leaves that they were like, done working with him because he's gone for the majority of it, and the only time he shows up, there are scenes that are shot out of the camp, so you can tell they're just like, just come in on a Saturday, we'll shoot all your scenes at once, and then we never have to talk to you again.
Yeah.
But his send-off episode is really good.
Yeah, I remember it being good. Is he like, during that season, is he like going to another camp for some reason? Nope. Or like going to the town? Like,
he's just in Tokyo all the time.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
And that's when Klinger starts taking over his job. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I watched the episode where Klinger gets a bunch of stuff from home and everybody makes fun of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets to keep the lamp because they realize that they were picking on him too hard.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? Oh, the one that it really stuck out is the episode with BJ talking to it's the only episode that Mike Farrell wrote and directed. Maybe he did another one, but so far it's the only one he's wrote and directed,
mm-hmm.
where BJ kind of starts falling for a reporter. Or like she's a correspondent that does all the drawings and then writes about the experiences. Yeah, BJ kind of falls for her and she's like, yeah, no, I want this. And he has to like sit her down and be like, I'm only falling for you because we're in the war and like the only thing getting me through this war is thinking about my wife and kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like at the end of the episode when you see the drawing of her. Because I think he said that I have this little place in Mill Valley that's my lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And she draws a life preserver around him that says Mill Valley.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, that's really good. Good job, Mash.
Good job. Well done.
Yep. Charles continues to be surprising.
Yeah.
In ways that are interesting. I mean, he always, beginning of the episode, he will always revert to shithead.
But yeah, then it does feel like there's a redemption arc almost every episode with him.
It really does. It always starts out with him being shitty and then he gets better. Oh, this is the last episode for the mashup. The episode where they are pranking everybody's pranking each other, and Colonel Potter gets a call that some high ranking general's coming into town, and he's like, we're done with these, you know, pranks. And it culminates with everybody in the swamp stealing Margaret's tent.
Yes.
And then the colonel shows up and is gonna like court martial all of them because he's just sick of their shit. And then it's, you get through the whole episode and they're just like, look, we're gonna get court martialed anyways, we might as well get our revenge. And so they dump a bunch of beer on him in the officers club and he fakes a heart attack because he's so mad, and that's when you realize that it's Potter's prank.
Oh.
And that they do like April Fools. It's like, we've been doing this for three wars now.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good episode. I had a good time with that one.
Yeah, they pulled one on the old pranksters.
Mm-hmm.
We love to see it.
Yep. So that's where I'm at with MASH.
I was just thinking, is Klinger just supposed to be, man, I can't remember the main character's name in Catch 22, but he just supposed to be him, like acting crazy to try to get out of the war?
Yeah,
but
that's
the crazier he
that is the whole, yeah,
yeah.
And that episode too with the fake colonel, Rizzo, he's talking to Rizzo and Rizzo is just constantly asleep.
This is their grease, the grease crossover.
Yeah. I mean,
no, just
it kind of is. He's like the mechanic or whatever.
Mm.
And he just tells Klinger, he's like, the army hates smiles. Like, as long as you look like you're not happy, you can do whatever you want. And so, like, Klinger starts trying to act proper army personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point he just reverts back to dressing like Cleopatra, but he's just playing it straight, and the colonel's gonna be like, oh, we need to send you home, you need a section 8. He's like, no sir, I can't possibly get a section 8. And that's when you realize, that, you know, at the end, whenever it's a fake, he comes into the bar and be like, come on, Colonel, I thought we were going to go. And they all just start laughing at him again because he realized he also was part of the
Yeah,
wreck.
That's funny.
So, yeah. MASH. That's it. So
that was a great mashup.
It was a good mashup. There were some good episodes in there.
Great ep.
It's great. Great ep. Good ep.
Good ep.
Need to get a theme song for mashup now.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Just there it is.
I want like a jazzy version of Suicide is Painless.
Yeah, there you go.
Someone make that happen. Okay. This is the last part of the mashup. But I've watched.
Wait, we got to open it back up.
I got to open it back up to talk about this. I've noticed the end theme songs have changed 3 times. So they always do like a peppier version of Suicide is Painless over the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And the current one is my favorite because the bass line, they crank the bass line up on it. And so every time it comes on, like I just look at my wife and I start like grooving a little bit, like bow, ba-ba-bow, bow, ba-ba-bow. I'm like, yeah, listen to that bass line. They're getting funky on this season.
Just imagining you sitting on the couch and just all of a sudden getting like wiggly and
it happens every time.
Incredible.
Okay. Close it back up.
Great up.
It's a great up. Well, we've done enough banter, MASH related and otherwise.
Yeah.
It's time to get to it. This month we're talking about Donut County.
Donut County.
Donut County was originally released in August 28th, 2018 on the PlayStation 4, iOS, and PC. Then it was released on Xbox One and Switch on December 18th of the same year. It is developed by Ben Esposito. As far as I'm aware, he did the bulk of most things. I think music included.
Yeah,
like it's kind of a one-man show. It was published by Annapurna Interactive. We will talk about Annapurna later.
I'm just proud that you said their name correctly.
I had to hear it. We'll talk about Annapurna later. I'm slightly disappointed to have to say it, but it does not affect this wonderful game.
Yeah, good.
Donut County, it's a short, lovely little indie game. It's only 2 or 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay loop is kind of an inverse Katamari Damacy.
That's exactly what I thought too.
Where you control a little hole in various levels, and that hole grows every time you swallow up something. It's really weird to explain this out loud. I've thought it, but I've never said it out loud. As the hole gets bigger, more larger objects can fall into the hole, and your object is to just clear the level by swallowing everything up. That is it. The mechanics like evolve upon that, where when you swallow up certain things like fire, you can then use that to manipulate other objects in the world. Like the fire will make hot air, so you can make hot air balloons go up.
Mm-hmm.
There's water puzzles as well, where you can fill it up, and then it's like one with a drinky bird.
I did it. I enjoyed that as well.
Yep. And that is it. Like that's the bulk of the 2 hours is just you going through these various levels, just trying to clear the map. Now, I realize there's not a ton to talk about past that.
Gameplay wise. Yeah.
That is kind of it. But I guess I can ask both of you, like, how did you feel about that being the main gameplay mechanic? Like, that being the loop, how did you feel going into it?
Nora, you go first.
Oh, I was going to suggest you go first, Paul.
Aw. Brother and sister. Just trying to get along on a podcast recording. It's a beautiful thing.
Paul, you go. Just go, Paul.
Okay, I was taking a drink of water and Chris almost made me spit it out everywhere. Yeah, I thought it was fun. There was absolutely nothing wrong with just a simplistic, you have two buttons to use the entire time.
Yep.
And I mean, to me, this is a game that is, that sort of needed a mechanic for the story.
Yeah.
To sort of propel the story. To me, it was less about actually playing the levels and more about how did all of these people wind up in the hole, which is not a bad thing to me. Again, we've talked about this before. I think we're all story people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that was not a big deal to me. I did really like, honestly, just like sort of the charming atmosphere, the way everything was designed, all of that kind of stuff. It was just very cute. I don't know. And I think the little, what was nice about it was that there were some nuances to some of the levels, like little puzzles. You were talking about like the water and the fire stuff. I think too with the levels where you like catapulted things out of the
forgot about the catapult. That is one of my favorite.
Yeah, it's ones. That was a good aspect. I think too is interesting. Like, and I texted this to you, Chris, but like one of the main plot devices, I would say, you know, in terms of gameplay and moving it along, is that you have to swallow up some rabbits and they have to get busy.
Yep.
Make the hole bigger. just ridiculous.
The little cartoon hearts.
The cartoon hearts
that came up too.
Yeah.
So funny.
Hilarious. Yeah. All in all, charming. And I don't think that the gameplay, you know, while simplistic, and we talked about this with Artful Escape too, you know, there's not a whole lot to the gameplay. It's basically just there as a device to move the plot along. But given how short both of these games have been, or both of those games have been, I think that that is absolutely fine for it.
If I may use the parlance of our times, this game is a vibe.
Yeah, it's a vibe. That's right.
The aesthetics, the music, the simple gameplay. It's it all clicks together.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough for me. Nora, how did you feel? Any standout moments in the gameplay? Or
I thought it was, like Paul said, just really charming. And it was really nice to sort of have a game where you could kind of turn your brain off and just look at pretty things and chuckle at some of the very sarcastic dialogue. What was really nice was, you know, it was, again, only a couple of hours. And there were times when, you know, my husband would come up and sit on the couch and kind of watch me play. And at one point I had to go throw something in the oven for lunch. And I just handed him the controller and I was like, here are the two buttons you use. Bye. And he just like played a level. the degree of difficulty increasing, even though it wasn't really by much, but like, you know, the little puzzles and, you know, having to make sure you had to do things in a certain order or whatever. There was only one time that I had to restart a level, and that was because it was in Possum's house. The platform that Possum was sleeping on falls down at some point.
Yeah.
And there's something that you get that you swallow up in the hole from that. Well, for whatever reason, when it fell down, it got stuck on something. I couldn't figure out what I had to do to get out of that level. So I just restarted it and then realized like, oh, it didn't fall correctly. So that was really the only trouble I had with it. I did think it was really funny that if you lose the boss battle at the end, you are transported back into the donut shop as the raccoon is BD, right? BD and Mira?
BK,
I think.
Or BK. That's right, Burger King, because that's what I kept thinking of when I was playing. Yep. And it's like, do I want an Impossible Whopper later on? Anyway, BK and Mira are playing a video game where they have lost the boss battle. Yeah. And it's just really... Just, that's just very funny and very cute. And and they're ignoring customers and all of that. There were a couple of times where I was like, is this game a mild critique of late stage capitalism? I can't tell. It was really cute and very funny. Like the Trashopedia entries. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Very good. I have them up right here. Like, just looking at a couple of things. I'm looking at too many things and I can't pick one. Ranger Station is a wood jail for freaks, like stuff like that. It's good. Snakes are alive spaghetti. A cool snake is alive spaghetti with the ability to hate. Like, it's just so funny.
Yeah, this game, I can't tell you how many times when games try to be funny, they just fall flat on their face.
Yep.
You know, you get Duke Nukem vibes.
Right.
That's not the only one, but that was the first one that came to mind where you're just, oh my God, it becomes tedious and it's not very good.
Nope.
All of the jokes more or less live in the Trashopedia. Although, you know, some of the dialogue stuff is also very funny. But man, I was going to bring this up later on in the episode, but let's talk about it now. The Trashopedia is really, I enjoyed it every time at the end of the level.
It's one of the
few times where I never skipped anything.
Right.
Nope.
I've read each one individually.
Yep. So now
I'm going to look at that same list as well. Paul, you have a list as well of some of your favorite ones.
One of my favorites while you're looking, if you're trying to look, was Tennis Ball. Tennis balls only grow in hard to reach places. Because it's true. I've never been able to just like grab a tennis ball somewhere. If it's always like rolled under a, you know, buffet or something like that. You know what I mean? Like it's under a table or whatever.
Ferris wheel, a pancake you can ride.
Yes.
All right, I got one. Seagull. 99% of seagulls are criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Corn cart was one that I liked as well. Why waste a good cart on anything beside hot dogs?
Yeah, right.
Coco's radio. The human ear can hear over 100 songs.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
I don't want to like. I honestly, I could read.
Yeah,
all of them.
Right,
but they're very funny. I love it so much. So that's kind of like your reward at the end of the level.
Yeah.
Along with what I think is the best song in the game. That the quack song.
Yeah.
I love that song so much. Is the main reason I keep the Donut County soundtrack on all of my devices. Just, I'm having a bad day. I will put that song on and I feel better. I've also found the Donut County soundtrack is really good if you like you need to chill out in a big crowd. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Nora.
No, I was just going to say, I'm going to give you one more, and this one might be my favorite. Morning coffee. The secret to good coffee? Scare those beans. You got to yell at those beans. It's just very absurdist, dry.
Yeah, agreed.
In a way, there's a little bit of Britishness to it. Humor, which is all humor that I love. So.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm right there with you. All right, this is my last one. Little flag, it reminds you that you're not eating pizza. They're all great. That's I would say that alone is a reason to play this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Apart from just it, we can talk about the story here. It's told through a series of flashbacks.
Yeah, sort of vignettes.
It starts with everyone underneath the earth. Was it 9,999 feet below Donut County?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or 999 feet. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
But is it 9,999? I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. I think they did it because it's like an RPG damage limit joke.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, everyone's nerd, already below the... yep. Sorry, I'm the RPG nerd here. The JRPG nerd, specifically. yeah, everybody's below the
and
Earth
you wear that
already.
Title proud.
Oh, yes. I will... One day I'll talk about Persona with someone. Someone else that wants to talk about it.
I'm going to take a slight hiatus from the show.
Yep. Anyway. Or we just don't tell anybody that I got somebody else. We just I just refer to them as Paul the whole time.
I'm Paul the
and
whole
play
time
it straight Paul. The whole episode.
Yeah. Or you find a Paul who will talk about it. Yeah.
Yep. All good options.
All good, yeah.
Anyway, they're all below the earth, and it's told through a series of stories where everyone is mad at BK. BK is a raccoon. Probably should mention that. Donut County has been like overrun with raccoons who now just own businesses or have bought up all the real estate in Donut County. So everyone's mad at BK, and you go through one by one talking to specific people about why they ended up down in the hole. And Mira and BK are the main two protagonists of the story. I love in every level where you start to like do the actual gameplay puzzle part is that there's always like a little live feed of BK up in the corner with his little like control pad.
Yep. Well, it's funny you mentioned that because at first I was like, wow, why is it, you know, because I was playing these games, or I was playing this like late at night, like before I went to bed, and it was like, man, why are people getting deliveries at like 11:30 at night? And then I was like, oh wait, that's the time I'm playing it at right now. That's what time it is.
I never even noticed that that they keep their clock the same.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I like too that he didn't realize that delivering donuts wasn't sending these magic holes to places.
Yeah.
Like he's like, that's a donut, right? That's what people want. Yeah. They want all their stuff swallowed up.
I'm helping you all. Yeah, that's sort of the main.
Yeah, BK doesn't understand what he did at all.
Right, yeah.
All he wants is that quadcopter.
Yep.
Which I love that that's when you see your level up meter, you start at level 9, and the first time you see it, like, why am I at level 9?
Yep.
And then the story reveals that it's like, oh, I'm almost at level 10. If I get to level 10, I get a quadcopter.
Pretty cool. So,
and that
yeah,
is a
Nora,
status
you're right.
Symbol for raccoons. So.
Exactly. Right. Late stage capitalism. Yeah, you're right.
It's like you sold enough.
That's exactly the commentary. Yeah,
it's like you sold enough Herbalife shakes to, you know, to
it's
get
the version
to the
of a
level.
Pink Cadillac.
Yeah,
exactly.
But
without getting into the specifics of like each individual story, are there any of those characters that like stood out to you guys? I realize it's not a long game, so it's kind of hard for any of them to sink in.
Yeah.
I liked.
I'm just looking through the contents list real quick.
I liked Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
And Croc, I think. I like those three.
Croc was good. Is Salt and Pepper the dog?
Salt and Pepper were the two. They were brother and sister, and they were like fighting.
Oh, yeah.
They lived in the trailer park.
They lived in the trailer park, yeah.
I like the possum that is a flat earther.
Yeah,
I
like possum as well.
I know,
that's
that was
good.
Pretty funny.
And then gets somewhat justified by that in the world. Yeah, conspiracy theory possum is kind of funny.
Yeah, he was good.
And that it's the more innocent kind of conspiracy theories.
Yes.
Oh, to look back on those days fondly.
Yeah.
But
okay, hold on. I have a picture up.
Also, Pup. I love Pup.
Yeah.
But
that was a pretty easy win. It's like, oh, cute dog. Yes, please.
Yeah. Flying in a hot air balloon.
Yep.
Nikki. It was like the couple. Were they also...
Oh, with the rabbits.
Yeah, the couple with the rabbits. And the reason I bring them up is some of my favorites, because I messaged this to you. At the end of the game, They basically start quoting Enya. There's a weird like Enya bit because they say something like, "Who can say where the road goes, or where the day flows, or something like that?" And then I think Myra says like, "Only time will tell." Blah blah blah. And I was like, "Did they just say it, make an Enya reference?"
Huh.
It was hilarious.
That flew right over my head.
I don't even know how, because they say so little that you can very easily just like cycle through, like read everything and cycle through. So I'm sort of surprised that I even picked it up. It was a good one though.
Yeah. Like
that. That reminds me of the random Trogdor reference in Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That I sent you.
Yeah, you sent it to me, Nora.
Yeah.
How do they do it in Valhalla? I kind of remember, but I don't remember the specifics.
I think it was in, after you have your encampment and you build the, I can't remember if it's in the Assassin's Bureau hut that you build or where, but it's one of the documents that you pick up. And it's just very obvious that they are talking about Trogdor. And I can't remember. Okay. I think I deleted it because I literally just took a picture of my television and sent it to Paul and was like,
There was something about thatched roof cottages, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe Burn a Nation or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I just...
very good.
That's good.
Yeah. It was excellent.
I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're talking to someone that changed all of my stream alerts to various versions of the Trogdor theme that were available on the old Homestar Runner site. So,
wonderful.
If you don't want me to do that, sorry, Brothers Chip.
But they were, I'm sure they do.
They
not
were
care.
Free MP3s.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're proud.
Hey, but that's pretty great. Other than the possum and the pup, I think those are the two that stick out in my head. But I knew what I was gonna bring up next. The one of the more silly things is like, in between the stories, occasionally you get this like text message interface where Mira and BK talk back and forth, and you can just keep tapping X, but then you can also tap on a duck button.
Yep.
And if you tap the duck button enough, you occasionally get a duck response back, which I almost exclusively did the second time through. It was just, how many ducks do I have to do before you quack back?
And it's like in the middle of whatever conversation they're having. Like, it has nothing to do.
You can do it all the way up to the final like fight where you're just like, look, we got to go to, and we'll explain what that is, but you have to, you know, we got to go talk to the head raccoon, and you can still be like, quack, 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 quack. It's just so silly. I'm so glad they kept that in there, even though it serves no purpose.
Yep, that's so great.
But I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story, just you, once you get through everybody's story, you have to figure out a way to catapult out. But before we get to that, the last part of the story is how the big raccoon corporation, is it Trash King?
Yeah, Trash King is the main.
Which, it's funny, now every time I see Trash King, the first thing I think of is on Bob's Burgers. They have raccoons in the alley, and
right.
Linda named one of them Little King Trashmouth.
Yep.
And his husband Gary. So every time I hear Trash King, I think Little King Trashmouth. But at a certain point, whenever BK has swallowed the town whole, they need to go talk to the raccoon, to Trash King, to get all the stuff back. But like, he doesn't want, I'm trying to remember, it was just something like, oh, he needs all of the stuff in town to, because he wants to have a monopoly on trash, right?
Yep.
Isn't that it?
Yep.
It's like, he just wants to have all the trash, which was like, yeah, I'm not giving any of it back. So they decide to give him a taste of his own medicine. And you go through this big elaborate puzzle at the end where you just swallow up all of the the lab or like the big building that Trash King is in.
Yeah,
I like
key cards and...
I like that one a lot because Trash, every time something goes wrong and an area goes offline, Trash King has to be like, no, everything's great. Just make sure that, you know, you leave the area because it's on fire right now.
Yeah.
But we wanted that fire to be there.
Yeah.
His little justifications for everything are very good.
Yeah.
So you, once you get through that puzzle and you swallow up, all of his compound, there's like this big moment at the end and when everybody's in the bottom of the pit where they realize what they did was wrong. BK kind of figures it out that, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have taken everybody's property away from them. And you find Pup, because Pup is the one trapped on a hot air balloon. And that's when they get the catapult working again.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets launched back up. And you get to play through a very fun end credits bit, which I wish more games would do.
Yeah.
Fun end credits like this, where you finally get to control the quadcopter.
Yep.
And there's like a trophy, at least on, and I'm sure there's an achievement for it, where like, I can't remember what it was, but I remember like having to spend the most time with the quadcopter to get that last trophy. I think you have to like go through and make specific things happen on the end credits, because you can like squawk from the quadcopter and like set things off. Hey, you had to fly the quadcopter around the donut shop and see everybody kind of like rebuilding. It's really fun. And the visual is always great. It's a very cartoony look.
Yep.
And it kind of all blends in. And the soundtrack is just so, so good. So relaxing. I mentioned it before. I keep it on every streaming platform that I have and keep it on every device I own because it's just, I'll work to it a lot. It's a good soundtrack to put on in the background while I work. I love it. I mean, your thoughts.
I mean, it's cool that I didn't know that he like made the music to that and stuff too, but
I believe so. If it wasn't, that might have been the one place he didn't do work, but I swear he also did the soundtrack.
Yeah,
but yeah. Nora, your thoughts on any of that?
No, I mean, let me rephrase, I don't know,
let me rephrase the question. So, your thoughts on that? Yeah, I mean, how did you feel about the music or the aesthetics of the game?
No, I thought the music was really nice, and the aesthetics were cool too. Yeah, I just really liked the game. I just felt like it was a nice, it was kind of gentle, in a way. I don't know if you can be kind of dry and sarcastic and yet gentle at the same time, but this game sort of walks that fine line. Like I said, it was just lovely to kind of like shut your brain down and just sort of do this for a couple of hours. It's delightful. Yeah. It's a delightful game.
Yeah. It is. It is the definition of I'm shutting my brain off and I'm relaxing.
Yeah.
Yep.
It weirdly enough, Tetris Effect is also that game for me. But you know, that's an experience. But yeah, like it's just so nice to turn that on and just completely stop thinking about the day or whatever happened and just like, I'm just gonna laugh at some trashpedia entries and swallow some things up.
Yep.
Launch some things as well. Is that I was playing Donut County while Elden Ring was downloading, and so I went from Donut County.
Well, I guess we have a similar experience
to Elden Ring.
Wow, way to just throw it in first gear from sixth gear.
Right, and I, I hated my life at that point.
Oh boy,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, very different experiences for sure.
Yeah,
but it was nice to have a bit of a respite from the onslaught that is Elden Ring.
Yeah. Now, I think, you know, that's really not, there doesn't need to be a whole lot more to be said about Donut County. It's a short experience. It's really lovely. It's really delightful. You know, and it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Again, this is not sponsored by Game Pass, but it's out there.
Yeah.
Get it.
Just get it. Definitely worth it too. I mean, I don't know how much it costs, you know, outside of Game Pass.
It was $20, I think, when it came. Or no, it was a little bit. I think it was $25 which was like, I know it's only 3 hours, but it's, you know, I still bought it when it came out, and I didn't regret it one bit. to take a really hard left turn real quick.
Oh, yeah, just, this is right. That's you.
So, just to, I don't want to make a bummer out of this. It's just because we have talked about Annapurna games before, and in the past, we... you know, we're like, oh, you know, there's always this fun little space of indie games. They all seem cute and nice and really diverse and unique. And so a couple of days ago, People Make Games, a YouTube channel, which has a few people that used to work for Eurogamer, and now they've gone off and they're Patreon funded. And they do really good reporting on things. They made a video about Roblox and how scummy that company is. And it's really worth watching. Yeah. You should, yeah. The Roblox video is two parts. One, about how really scummy and how, like, exploitative of kids' labor it is. So that's worth watching. Yeah. That is... I highly recommend that.
Kids make their own levels, and then you can play those levels.
Yep.
Is that the one?
Yep. Yeah. And they can tell you that, you know, you can earn money, but they take a high cut of anything you make, and you earn it in Robux.
Right.
First, and to get to cash out from Robux, there's another fee they take off of that. So by the time you try to get into money, it's absurd. Yeah, anyway, watch that video too.
Jesus, yeah. That is like 1800s company town being paid in...
script.
Script, thank you. I was like, I'm a historian, I know this. Being paid in, like, company script and not being it, like, that money being worthless anywhere else. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Roblox
yeah.
is like a robber baron.
It's yeah. not a good thing.
And then, There's a two-part video. You should watch both of those if you're at all interested. And definitely makes me, anytime I hear, like, my nieces talk about it, I'm like, we should really talk about how, like, it's like, maybe you shouldn't play this game anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, they released another video this past week where they talked about emotional abuse allegations at three indie studios, one of which I had already heard about. One was at Gone Home developer Fulbright, which was extremely disappointing.
Yeah,
to
you
learn.
Really like that game.
Yeah, and because that was super disappointing to learn about that. One was from Mountains, which is a studio I didn't know, but they made is it Monument Valley? It was
the
mobile game. Yeah, I think they did that, and they were working on another one. The lead guy there, Ken Wong, was very emotionally abusive of people. And then the third studio was the one behind Wadum. I don't know if you remember that one. They had worked with the lead creative designer of Katamari Damacy on it. And in all three cases, they were all... they had one person in charge that was... definitely emotionally abusive of the staff, and it was disappointing. How this relates to Annapurna is that all three games in question were all published by Annapurna, and that so fine, what, no big deal. Like, it's not, they don't own these studios, so you could say it's not on them to, like, so it's just a weird link, right? In each of these three cases, the teams reached out to Annapurna to try to have some kind of help. And it was all varying degrees of extremely unhelpful to, like, condescending at best. Like, in the case of Mountains, it was not that whenever they reached out, they just said, you know, like, oh, it takes strong personalities to make games. And then in the second case, when it was with Fulbright, they thought, you know, like, they were going to be a mediator with, it was Steve Gaynor, who was the one that has now stepped down. When they asked questions about that, they were just like, what do you need to get Open Roads done? And just completely curtailed any talk of Steve Gaynor and what he did. And then, I can't remember much about how they got involved with the third game. They were asked to get involved, but did not really help. In that one, you found out it was... when it wasn't the guy that they hired from, the creative director of Katamari Damacy, and the head of the studio, Robin, she was the one that was not only emotionally manipulative, but she would use personal information that people told her and just spill it out in meetings, which is so super scummy.
Not good.
And the worst part is she was a very big advocate for diversity and minority voices in games and women in games. And everybody that they interviewed were like, it felt really awful to have to say anything bad about her, because they were like, her message is good and she net positive maybe did good for the industries, but man, she destroyed a lot of people working for her. And that was really awful to read. So yeah, and the only reason I wanted to bring that up, because I was super disappointed and like irritated with how Annapurna handled it. And then in that video, which I'm going to link it in the show notes, you should go watch it, they do mention that Annapurna, you know, it's a spinoff of Annapurna Pictures. They make movies. Annapurna was kind of founded on the idea of the auteur, that there's, you know, movies get made by one person with a vision, and sure, they might be a pain in the ass to work with, but they make the things done. Now, that does not justify emotional abuse or behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
But this studio maybe seems to think that that doesn't matter. So it's that, or this publisher. And so it's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That, it really broke my heart to read that. You know, we have talked in the past how this industry needs to do better by its people.
Mm-hmm.
I only wanted to bring that up because I specifically remember in the Artful Escape episode, us talking about, like, this is cool little publisher.
Yeah.
And fill this unique little space. And I was like, you sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want
duped us.
Any of that to go against Donut County, because, you know, Donut County.
Or the Artful Escape.
Or the Artful Escape, yeah. Like, by all accounts that I know now,
yeah,
neither of those two games were included in these allegations. So I don't, you know, that's not on them. They're the developers. They just signed a deal with this publisher. Mm-hmm. You know, it does fall. There is some responsibility, I think, on Annapurna when people are reaching out to you for help and you don't help or just care about getting the game out.
Yeah,
right.
And it's super skeezy.
Yep.
All right, that's all for that. I watched the video. I recommend it. Just know that, you know, a lot of people contribute to games, and they all deserve to be treated well.
Yeah.
And it's really shitty when they can't even provide the base level of human decency to make a game.
I feel like this is, you know, beyond the video game industry, the tech industry in general.
Yeah.
has a problem here.
Yeah, it's
too, but
it's widespread. Yeah. It goes back to the WeWork
documentary. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man.
I mean, yeah, I just think in general, you know, workforces. But, you know, just speaking specifically to technology and the need to produce and get things out and meet deadlines and all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
In the tech sector.
It's there's going to be some reckonings for years to come.
Yeah.
Within tech. And it's well deserved, well due.
Yeah.
But anyway, quick pivot back to some more happier topics.
Yeah.
You can smell the handbrake burning on that one. one thing I do want to bring up, because I've watched both the Fire Festival documentary and the WeWork one, and I thought it was hilarious that in both the Firefest documentary and both Firefest documentaries, by the way, the Hulu one and the Netflix one, I watched both. And those ones and the WeWork documentary, they have footage of both people and companies doing that. You remember when there was that meme on like TikTok and YouTube where it was like the frozen pose thing where everyone had to act like they were frozen in time?
Yes.
And then they would, like, you know, look like they were partying but frozen.
Yeah.
Both documentaries had footage of people doing that. Like, was everyone...
Like the Harlem Shake?
Yeah, exactly. Like, was everyone obsessed with doing this shitty thing while scamming a bunch of people?
Maybe that's, like, the red flag.
It was the facade, yeah.
That's the thing. If
like,
the
we just need to go back and track.
You to do that, you're like, I'm out.
Yeah. Like, we need to go back and track how many people made those and then start looking at their books.
Yeah, Yep, our my college glee club did it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Paul, you're in a cult. Run!
I was in a cult. Yeah.
I mean, I could buy that.
Yeah. Yeah, you've worked with the director.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that. All right. Anyway, on a happier note, and to wrap up, final thoughts on Donut County. Noor, we'll start with you.
I don't know that I have anything else.
Yeah,
yeah, I was sort of thinking the same thing.
We didn't talk about, or maybe we did, because I did have to run to the bathroom at one point. Sorry. all that water we were drinking to stay hydrated.
That's right.
The fact that you either cause or take advantage of a pile up on like the 405.
Oh, such a good
is
one.
It's just very funny to me.
Yeah.
Or the raccoons do in your part. Yeah. Part of that whole thing. That was one of the levels that my husband played, and I came in like as he was finishing it up. So I don't know the whole backstory, but there was just something about that that was very funny to me.
Yeah.
That's a very good one. I liked the game. It was really fun. I'm probably going to play it again at some point. Just because it is sort of a nice, relaxing... It's like watching a movie. I mean, it takes about the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, rather than watching a movie and relaxing, I'll probably just play that and relax, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure there are Lord of the Rings movies that are longer than this game.
There definitely are.
There are Marvel movies that are longer than, like...
Yeah.
It's really not that long.
Yeah. All right, Paul.
Final thoughts, opinions. I feel the same way. Again, just a really lovely little game. An easy thing to pick up, put down, or just blow through the whole way. Because I mean, it's for how short it is. And it's just a nice sort of reprieve from whatever's going on in your day. And we're in an age where, you know, any AAA game is going to be this massive open world, collectibles everywhere, a billion side quests, it takes you 100 hours to beat it, you know, like whatever. There's a term that I'm trying to think of, but anyway, just like on a more massive scale, like continually just becoming larger and more filled with stuff, whatever. It's nice to have something just compact, very simple.
It's a little palate cleanser
at the same time. Yeah, that's a palate cleanser is good.
Yep.
Good way to say it. Economy of scale. I think that's what I was thinking, the term that I was thinking of, but I don't really even know that I can justify why I was thinking that. But I agree with what Nora was saying, with what you were saying earlier too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that pile up on the 405 level was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I just to round things off, you should play it. There's no excuse. It's on everything now. It's delightful. You need a game like this every once in a while. It's like, I cannot stress like how much it makes me giggle.
Yeah.
like in a great way. Like it's really funny in a way that a lot of games cannot pull off.
Yeah.
And that alone is why I recommend it. But I love the puzzle. As we had a big revelation last month, i.e. just me, that apparently every game I love is puzzles or has something to do with puzzles.
Yeah.
I'm
with you there.
This one hits me right in a good place. And so I love Donut County. The whole vibe is great. It's super relaxing. Get the soundtrack, put it on while you work or do some chores. It'll make your day better.
One thing I want to say, I was just thinking about it. Generally we are of the same mind during these podcasts, right? There's, in the way we're talking or just feeling about a game. But I don't think that we've been as on the same page about like, go play this. It's a wonderful thing as these last two games that we've played, like Super Hot and Donut County have both just been like, just go do it, you know.
Right.
Just go have some fun.
Other than like Metal Gear.
Well, yeah, I mean those games are ridiculous in their own right. And
right.
And I would say not for everybody. But these two games are just ones that are like, you know, you got a crazy story. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just something simplistic, some simplistic mechanic that's not too hard to get into. You just go in, turn your brain off for a little bit, have fun.
Yeah.
And it's been nice post the Halo episode to have these two. They are palate cleansers in their own right.
I feel so bad about that.
No, no, no. I mean, I do too, Chris. So we both made mistakes.
Hey, so. Look, I committed to it. I was the one that said I wanted to try it.
Yeah.
And then I was reminded.
I'm proud of you. All right. Anyway, with that. So,
Donut County. It's a wonderful little, what's a wonderful game. Good. You got three thumbs up. So yeah. Go check it out.
I would say six.
Yeah. Let's, yeah. That's I guess true. We should probably. Yeah. Six thumbs up.
We should three use thumbs all up. Of our thumbs.
Yeah. The only reason I say that is it sounds like one person has three hands.
Hey, we don't know.
I mean, you've never seen us, so.
That's our t-shirt right there. It's just one guy holding up with like three individual hands on one arm.
Yes, that's exactly.
Someone better at art than me, please make that that's happen. What we,
yeah. Oh, man. Anyway.
So yeah, Donut County is great. Check it out.
Anywhere from three to six thumbs up.
Anyway, yeah. Minimum three thumbs all the way up to six.
Anyway.
So it's that time again. We got to reveal what's coming up next month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that was definitely going to happen.
Yes.
And Nora should be, I don't want to speak to her schedule now, but hopefully we'll be back to join us on. We're finally just talking about Control.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to start camping out right now in front of my
laptop. Awesome.
As the only one of the three of us who hasn't played it, this is going to be the toughest one because it's the longest one, I think, that we've done for this. So,
that's true. Yeah.
But I'll get through it. I'm going to have to press pause on Elden Ring.
Yep.
We're gonna get into
it. And I feel like we have, at least I've talked it up enough that if you play it and are disappointed, I'm going to feel so fucking bad.
Oh, no, no. I know that I'm not. Like,
okay.
I mean, I watched you play it a little bit. It looked awesome.
Oh, that's true.
Just everything. I don't know. It's right up my alley.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to talk about the DLC. Wait, maybe we'll watch the Alan Wake 2 trailer again.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it again and try and suss out some details.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't wait to talk about Control and give it its due. It's so good.
Mm.
So that's coming next month. But we want to thank you for joining us this month. Nora, thank you for hopping in again and talking some Donut County with us. It's always wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, it's always fun to be here. So
Anytime.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it sounds like we got you booked for Grim Fandango at some point.
I might need an Elden Ring break, so I think I'm probably going to start playing that pretty soon.
Yeah, I should finish it.
I've only played like 5 minutes of it, so.
I got stuck on a puzzle.
Oh, well, that.
No. Yeah, sorry. I think we were misunderstanding each other. I just meant it looked cool, and I thought you'd get into it.
I thought you'd played it, so.
No, I had not.
Well, if it sucks, I don't know what's coming after. All right. Two thumbs down.
At minimum two thumbs down.
Okay. That's right.
Once again, my own flesh and blood.
Brother and sister falling apart at the end of the episode. Oh, Paul.
Falling after each other because Grim Fandango may or may not suck. This is like the Schrodinger's Grim Fandango right now. Like there exists both a reality where it's great and it sucks.
I don't think we're gonna top Schrodinger's Grim Fandango.
I was gonna
Schrodinger's Fandango is probably there. What were you
Chekhov's guys Fandango.
Ooh, Chekhov's Fandango.
Also good.
Well, we've brought it up, so it's gotta complete it now.
That's true.
Right, exactly.
It has to, we have to resolve
a Fandango.
This.
Fandango. Mentioned in the first act. must
we
be
will,
played by the third.
Right, we'll get to it by the end of the year. Paul, thank you again.
No
as
problem.
Always.
Happy to be here, as always. Yep. Chris, thank you.
Of course. And now I'm going to go catch up on a Formula One race.
Yeah.
Thank you all again for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter at Backlog Review. You can point your friends and family to the show by going to backlogreview.club. And you can subscribe on all of your favorite podcast services like the Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, the Overcast. There's a lot of other ones that I don't remember. But any podcast catcher of your choice, you know, follow us on there. Leave a review on those services as well because it helps people find the show.
And again, it helps us be better.
Yep. And again, I keep forgetting to set up our coffee page, so that doesn't exist yet, but look, we're looking at ways for support if you choose to do so. But in the meantime, just let people know you like the show.
That's what we need.
Send
right
them
now.
Our way.
Yep.
Because maybe they want to know about MASH. Because I've not so subtly turned 20 minutes of this show into just a MASH podcast.
I mean, I'm just happy that we came up with MASHup.
Yep.
I'm proud
it
of
is
it.
Good. All right. So thank you all again for joining us. We'll be back next month right here. Same time, same place. And that's all.
Well, maybe
no.
I'll be in the blues.
That's the we did Frasier last year.
Yeah. We can't.
How did I already forget that
Frasier's dead to us this year?
Right.
All right.
Sorry, Kelsey Grammer.
Sorry, Kelsey.
Alan Alda showed up and he's eating your lunch. He's eating both the tossed salad and the scrambled eggs.
Staring you right in the face as he does so.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. We'll be back right here on the Backlog Review Game Club.
Bye.